Today, we are joined by Alberto Posso, who suggests our approach to helping these kids lies in the past experiences of different countries that closed schools due to previous pandemics, war, or industrial action. Good morning, Alberto.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Very good. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, when we're talking about past experiences, one example is in 2014 and 2015, the Ebola epidemic led to school closures in Guinea, Liberia, Sierra Leone. What effects did these closures have?
Well, before I get into that, I think just you know, to remind your listeners that these places are really different to Australia, right? So, you know, these lessons that we can get from places like Africa, we sort of have to take with a grain of salt, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, there were some interesting outcomes. One of the main ones that you would see in places like Africa are gender gaps increasing. So basically what happened is that dropout rates were greater for girls. Girls, very young girls, were stuck at home. Many were sent off to get married. So you had an increase in child marriage. There was a big increase in teenage pregnancies as well. And these two factors, if you think about early marriage or teenage pregnancy, they really basically suggest that these kids are never really going to go back to school after that. In Australia, we could see dropout rates increasing after the pandemic and when schools open. And it won't be because of things like child marriage and stuff like that here, because that's fairly uncommon, although I understand can still happen. What we would see in Australia is more like a few kids that come from relatively disadvantaged households where it's really hard to get a computer, where your parents are not really well placed to help you, finding it really difficult to go back to school. And when they're back in school, they'll find it really hard to catch up. Now, some will be able to catch up, of course, and some teachers will be instrumental in helping them catching up. But in some cases, we can expect a lot of them not to be able to do that. So one of the lessons we get from Africa in this case is these sort of increasing dropout rates, and this is to be expected, and this is gonna affect a particular segment of our society that is unfortunately relatively worse off even before the pandemic. So a lot of these effects are sort of compounding on negative things already.
It's quite distressing to think that this is happening, but of course it definitely is. There are stories circling of kids who are dropping out to try and help financially at home. But what have the recent reports shown about the immediate impacts of school closures in New South Wales and Victoria?
Well, there's been some work done. So in Victoria, there's been a recent report that found that more than 10% of students from disadvantaged schools were absent during the state's first period of remote learning. And in a report from Sydney showed that more than 3,000 public school kids didn't return after their classrooms open. So you do see an element of this already happening in our society. Now, proportionally, you know, the 10% figure is actually big. It may sound, some people might say 90% are there, but you got to remember these 10% are relatively more disadvantaged kids anyway. So this can have really bad long-term effects.
And I think a really interesting point that you mentioned in your article in The Conversation was how school closures impact kids more than just education. I mean, there are programs, for example, access to food security and food programs.
Yeah.
How is this going to be associated with academic performance and impact generally?
Well, I mean, this is sort of a big deal in developing countries. Kids really get their main meals in school through government-run or NGO-run school programs. And the fact is their parents are too poor to feed them at home. So when you look at this in developing countries, you really get hit by this fact that a lot of kids are basically going to be malnourished. In countries like Australia, the U.S., and countries within the European Union, we tend to see a different type of food insecurity. And this is actually related to bad food practices. So, people eating a lot of sugary foods and a lot of fatty foods at home. And the evidence seems to suggest that children that when they are in school, they tend to, for whatever reason, sometimes I guess even some peer pressure, they tend to go for less unhealthy foods. And often schools don't really provide, hamburgers and a lot of sugary drinks in school anyway. So they tend to eat healthier meals. And this has been shown to lead to, better nutrition, and better nutrition is associated with better grades, really. So kids that are eating better and are healthier are doing better in school. They're more likely to go into uni afterward and things like that. And, you get sort of these long-term good outcomes just from having a good diet as a kid. And unfortunately, school closures mean some kids will be prevented from that.
Unfortunately, we are out of time, but thank you so much for coming on the show and telling us about this.
My pleasure. Thanks so much.